Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you really ready?
Are you ready to rock?
Are you ready for some ghostly talk?
Well, I have to be because I'm part of the show.
Okay, then you're ready. Hey. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Hey, Will. And we are in the house for you. Welcome to, what, this is the second show of November?
We are in the house.
The house.
The house.
For you.
His house.
In the basement. We
make sure you didn't go out to California. The hell can you come home with that?
I'm ready. I'm really, really geeked for about a half hour, and then I'll lose my buzz, and I'll be on the floor.
There's chocolate right there.
There's chocolate.
Good.
We brought that special for the show.
Excellent. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk. We broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes, sir.
That's some other time in other time zones. And
figure it out.
That's what we broadcast live. Of course, replays are heard on various stations throughout the internet. And so if you're not listening
we can't keep
7
up.
P.m. till 9 p.m., that's not live.
You can always download the archives of the shows on our site, too.
Burn them to CD-ROM or put them on your MP3 player, whatever you want to do.
And yeah, that's what I do.
Enjoy. You guys, we went to Indiana. Scott L. Didn't go, but no. I did. I'm Doug. And Will went to Indiana.
Over the weekend.
So we're going to talk a bit about that.
Yeah.
And, of course, coming up a bit later in the show, it is during our normal guest times, is Chad Lambert. No relation to Scott L. But
you blew my cover. Thanks.
We'll call him Chad L.
Chad L. Chad L. All night long.
There we go. Chad L.
His last name is Lambert, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I know
it is. I'm looking at the comic right now. It's Chad Lambert. He's got the C shares my last name. How wonderful.
Like, they can't go to Ghostly Talk and then click through to MFPS and see all the information about you.
I don't have my last name on the MFPS site either.
Oh. Okay, we'll have to edit that intro out.
Yeah, thanks.
There you go. Anyway.
Now they're all coming after me now. Yeah, I'm done.
So yes, we're going to be talking to Chad Lambert. He's the cartoonist?
He's actually the head writer.
Head writer of Point Pleasant comic book, the Mothman comic book.
Yeah.
So he's a cool dude. We met him in Point Pleasant,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be talking to him a bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm. If you're still awake.
If maybe you'll be talking to him.
Well, you guys just blew it about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half, 45 minutes ago. You guys just got back from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are both pretty crusty right now.
Well, I've been dying, but I've been dying to tell you what we did, what we found out.
Yeah, we try to hold off on this stuff until the show for things like this, just so we can keep it fresh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys, spill the beans. Let's go.
So I didn't get a chance to tell you, but...
Yeah, well, you were sleeping. We were watching Donnie Brasco, and you were out on the couch.
First of all, I have to say, yay, Colts.
Yay, Colts, yeah.
Yay, Colts, because our host for the weekend...
They owned the Texans.
They sure did. And, excuse me. So, all right, here's what we did. Will and I hopped out of here a couple of times, but we ended up having
But I was slated to go with you guys.
Right.
We left the first time in my car, got about 100 miles away,
right,
and we had to come back.
Right.
There was an issue that we had to come back, so we had to come back. And I was starting to feel worse and worse during the trip. And I think it was an omen that we had to come back, because I was just, by the time we got back, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to call it a weekend. I'm going to stay home and just get well, which I'm feeling better now, but you can hear my nose. Hi, meet my nose. I'm still talking through my nose, basically. So you guys took off.
We took off at rush hour. It was a little bit before 5 o'clock. we got on I-696 here in...
the obscenities that came out of Doug.
Oh, really? I want to hear some of these.
No, those are...
Did he let one go? Did he let one of the main ones go?
No.
He didn't say no, but he did give the bird to a couple of people.
Yeah. Welcome to Michigan.
Hey, I grew up here. I know how to do this
native.
When I need to, you know. But yeah, that was Farmington Hills. Hi, Farmington Hills. I hope never to return.
Farmington Hills. It's not my favorite city on the planet.
To high heaven. It was rush hour traffic on 696.
Well, yeah, because you have all those buildings there full of ants that come out at a certain time of the day.
And you know, we dusted off the death escort for the trip.
Yeah.
And,
which was beautiful because we were like, well, we'll just use my car. I'm like, dudes, Because, I mean, I should never doubt the car. I should never doubt the death score. Yeah. But I always
Wait, what
do.
What was the first question? Oh, you guys made it home. That was your first
question. Well, no, here was my concern. When you said, we're going to use my car. I'm like, that's great. Okay. And you're like, well, I better check the oil. So you open up the hood, and you pull the dipstick out, and you check that the oil is black as tar. It's blacker than tar.
What color is oil?
It's like a beigeish, brownish, translucent color.
Not on the Beverly Hillbillies.
From the ground to the bubbling crew. Oil.
That intro was shot in black and white.
Black gold.
Black and white.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's not supposed to be solid like coffee.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to feel like a total jerk now.
Should I get changed, do you think?
Guys, should we get changed?
About, like, 4,000
miles. About 4,000 miles. Yeah. 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah, okay.
The car made it, though.
Oh, yeah. He liked the trip. And
like a champ.
So, yeah, so we went down. We went to meet up with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, IGT.
Yeah.
So we went up to meet with the Indiana Ghost Trackers. We were our gracious host, Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers, and his lovely wife, Katrina. And we made it there by, what, 11?
A little after 11.
A little after 11. So it was a 6.5-hour drive there because of Farmington Hills.
Right.
Yeah. And then we went ghost hunting.
Yeah, we got in the vehicle, picked up Misty, and went ghost hunting.
Yes, we did, and it was awesome. We went to that train,
the White Lick Creek Bridge. Correct me if I'm wrong, Misty, in the chat room.
Yeah, white was something. Anyway, and we took EVP. We took some photos. I have to download mine from my camera. It's still packed. Oh no, I unpacked it, but it's around here somewhere. Anyway, and then so we took some photos. We did some EVP work, and oh. I didn't take pictures there. I took pictures somewhere else.
You took pictures at the cemetery.
Yeah.
At the Danville Cemetery.
Oh, I think I took some pictures looking up, because it's a very tall train trestle.
Extremely tall.
Yeah. So I think I took some pictures looking up. I'll have to download them, see if I got anything. And that was phenomenal. We got to meet Misty that night. And, of course, Sean is just a bundle of energy. I'm so amazed.
I'm really bummed that I didn't get to meet Sean.
It was like fantastic from the first moment. You know, I mean, just like amazing, because he's just always like, go go go, we're gonna go do ghost hunting here, we're gonna go do this, we're gonna do that, we gotta do all this ghost hunting, you know. And it was cool because that's what we went there for. And we went ghost hunting with him and Misty that first night.
We went back to Misty's house.
Well, that's the thing. We went to the train thing, then we went to a cemetery, a local cemetery, and Sean had called ahead and let them know, so they knew that we were going to be there. And then we went to Misty's house, where we're sitting around talking about ghosts and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I was like mid-word, and we were talking, and the light went out.
Mm.
Just the one above us.
The one above us.
The ball.
And we're like,
what?
She goes, that sometimes happens as she gets up and she turns the light back on, right? So we're talking again, like 3-4 seconds later, I don't know, minutes later, and it goes out again. She's like, that never happened.
Hmm.
So and she knows her house is haunted. She did some history.
Oh, so I was just going to ask, is this house reported to be haunted?
Yeah. She did some research, and I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. Indiana's got it going on, you know?
Yeah.
This rocks. Because, I mean, look at how Indiana has treated us so far. We went out there...
Over the summer,
and met up with Scott Kay, and we went to, you know, a couple places, including Edna C. Collins, where we got... at the Edna C. Collins Bridge, we got the EVP, the little girl.
Right.
And then at Boone Hutchison, we got the guy who was talking to us. Yeah. And so we get... great results there, and then we go back and we're sitting in a haunted house. I mean, that totally rocks. I just can't even begin to tell you how spine chilling that is.
Sean got up, and he, after the second time, he tested the switch to make sure there was no shorts.
He was trying to make it go out manually.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do have to turn the knob to make it go out.
Okay.
And it's on a dimmer switch. And it didn't dim out, it just went out.
Right, it just went like that. just out. And it didn't dim. Yeah, it wasn't like somebody turned the switch out. It just clicked out. So she goes over there and she wiggles it a bit and it comes back on. Well, he was over there wiggling and tapping and it...
Would it go out?
No, it doesn't go out. You have to do something else to it other than...
You guys weren't having a seance or anything, were you?
No, we were just talking... Well, we were talking about ghosts.
Yeah. No satanic worship, no sex orgies, no nothing?
No, not that night anyway. So it was just absolutely insane. I was like, this is awesome. And then we went back to Sean's house then.
Yeah.
And talked until 6 in the morning.
Oh, that was rough.
That was a long night, but it was so worth it.
Oh, definitely.
It was so worth it. But the best, and that was phenomenal, but the best was yet to come.
Mm.
Okay? Because the next day, we got to meet all kinds of Indiana ghost trackers.
Mm. From all over Indiana.
From all over Indiana.
Okay.
And this was a trip and a half, I'm telling you, because it was just absolutely amazing. They have a yearly awards banquet kind of thing.
Yeah.
So ghost trackers from all over Indiana converge on...
A Lions Club.
A Lions Club in Zionsville.
Yeah.
Those people must love that every year. Here comes that cult again. Great.
And so the next day we got up and dragged our weary bones out of bed. And, we got to sleep in this the bed that had, like...
But you guys slept next to each other.
Yeah, it wanted...
Hot, okay.
Yeah, it wanted...
It dipped in the middle, so basically...
It dipped in the middle.
So you guys just kept, like, rolling together?
Yeah,
along.
So we were like...
Wake up spooning.
Get off me!
We were just cuddling and stuff at night. And then
what's that poking me in my back?
So, but no...
Always gotta cross the line, don't you, Will?
Yep. Yeah, you just got that one extra bit. But no, it was comfortable and it worked out well, and we slept in our clothes.
Well, that was really cool of Sean to put you guys up.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because he's prepared to put me up, too, if I came there.
Which and been... That takes a lot of nerve.
Now, all three. Yeah. Because if all three of us were in that bed, I mean.
That would have been ugly. Impossible, actually.
It would have been a fight. That's what it would have been.
Yeah. And that night, we also got to watch Mystic Indiana. Mm-hmm. The Indiana Ghost Trackers put together a video, and it's like the kind done on History Channel kind of thing or whatever, and they talk about several things, and they did this video. It's very professional and extremely enchanting.
Yeah, you mentioned it to me on the phone when you guys called me to gloat some more.
Right, because we did that often.
You're like, Scott, we're doing everything, man. We're like, we're having
a ball.
You're
going to have to talk to him
about it. Hey, Will, what'd you do with the ale? See, I don't pimp them. I just say the ale. There you go. See? There you go.
It's my favorite. Diet Pepsi.
God, you did it again.
So yeah, we got to see Mystic Indiana. We got to talk to Sean for hours that night.
Yeah.
The next day we get up after a very eventful night. And we went to... Where did we go first?
We got in the vehicle. We went to the Lions Club.
Oh, yes. Well, and that was fun. That was a lot like MGB going anywhere or Ghostly Talk going anywhere.
10, 15 miles out of the way.
Turned around and then went back. Yeah. So it was just like here.
Because we missed Zionsville Road. We just kept going and going.
So it was just like here. Exactly like driving around here. And so we got to the Lions Club and...
Quickly just like said, hey, how's it going? And then David, Elena's husband, took us to his house.
Right.
And we got picked. We then got in the vehicle with Elena and Amy, and went to the Slippery Noodle.
Yes, we visited the Slippery Noodle.
It's the oldest bar in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay, cool.
Where John Dillinger shot up the wall.
Really?
Yeah.
And we met up with Scott K too.
Oh, cool.
Scott K was there.
Dude, I'm bumming hard here.
Scott K, you know, are you ready for?
Oh yeah, man.
That Scott.
I miss Scott.
And so we got to visit with him, and Amy, I'm telling you, they were a trip. They were just absolutely, they're so excited. I was excited too, but it just comes out of every pore of their being, the excitement about ghost hunting. And they've got such cool places down there to go.
Well, Indiana we found.
Exactly.
My God. I mean, just let's just rule out the fact that we've actually... Well, you know, Scott got some evidence down there that we've been, like, just poking at for, like, the last 2 months, 3 months here. There's just so many haunted areas around Indiana. I mean, it don't surprise me that there is a giant group like the Indiana Ghost Trackers. Trackers. It's a Freudian slip if I've ever seen one. They covers the whole state, though. I mean, they,
right.
they basically cover the whole
well,
state.
Well, I want to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
How they're organized, because I'm jealous. So we're going to talk about that. But, yeah, Elena and Amy were just so excited about their ghost hunting, and they told us that the stories of, like, they'd gone to, they've gone all over the place, right?
Yeah.
They've even gone on trips, mm-hmm. like down to, where they go down to, New Orleans and stuff like that.
New Orleans, so we went to Alcatraz.
Oh, wow, I'd love to go there.
It was just all over the place.
Yeah, the Indiana Ghost Trackers just went everywhere last year, and probably for 4 years or so they've been around, but I'm telling you that they have no end of hauntings and no end of something going on at every moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want a ghost hunt and you're in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and you know an Indiana ghost tracker, you just, like, you're there.
Well, yeah, they're everywhere, so why not? They're not hard to get a hold of.
It's amazing. And so I was really impressed, because we're sitting in this haunted bar with the Indiana Ghost Trackers and Scott K,
yeah.
You know, absorbing the appetizers and the and the atmosphere, and
yeah.
then these stories. We got to exchange stories
mm-hmm.
about ghost hunting and we got to talk a lot about Sean. That
okay.
was fun. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
there was some major flack. It sounds like there was some major flack being talked around.
No, it was all good.
It was all good.
And I just wanted to throw that in there to make you go,
wonder what they said about me. He's going to get a complex now.
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
come back here again, guys.
Especially Scott L. and Doug and Will. Karma's okay still. But anyone else, no. I mean, it was just insane. So we went to their banquet.
Yeah.
That's where I was totally jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely completely jealous. Now, Scott L.,
mm-hmm.
What's the state of ghost hunting here in Michigan?
The state of it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of individuals that want to do it, like ourselves, like a lot of people we know. There's a lot of people that have an interest in it, like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? I know there's a handful of groups, but there is a lack, I think I know what the point you're trying to get at here, and
mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
There's no organization.
Yeah, there's a lack of organization.
There's no cooperation.
But
no cooperation. Hardly
you know
any
what?
Cooperation.
The thing with that, I mean, I agree with you on that, but, for example, this weekend, I mean, you guys took off, and, like, I had to stay back here by myself, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do with myself? I'm going to try to get something done here while these guys are gone. And on my own, I actually mentioned it last week. This is just an example. I went through that whole SpiritCon report that I mentioned last week.
Right.
I didn't really remember it, but now I have a lot of information on that. Went through the whole thing myself and learned a whole bunch of new, weird, cool stuff, right? Now, there is a lack of organization, I think, but we've always said on this show from day one that this is a hobby, you know? So I found myself, and we've discussed this 1,000 times, you know, just within our little group, you know, and I know myself, you know, the group thing, here, at least in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
obviously they're doing something right in Indiana, but the
good
thing here in Michigan, and maybe the attitude, and maybe how people are here, because they are a lot different here than they are in Indiana, and we know that.
Right.
Group things don't always work all the time, and I don't think you have to be part of a group as far as studying the paranormal goes now to really get to it and learn.
You don't. But listen to this.
Okay.
Okay, Indiana Ghost Trackers. Mike.
Yeah.
Is the founder, president of Indiana Ghost Trackers. Then under that is regional directors.
Mm-hmm.
Under regional directors are chapter directors, and under them are members, right?
Yeah, they have a whole hierarchy set up.
They have a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Okay. What if you were interested in knowing something about, like, we're here in Metro Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say we were interested in knowing something about, pick something, where do we go up north? The Heike's Tomb.
Okay.
Okay. So what if you then went to your regional director, if you had a hierarchy like that in Michigan here, or in any state, because
yeah.
the only state in the union that I know of that does this is Indiana, and
mm.
that's only because of IGT, and that's only because of Mike.
Mm.
And then, of course, his hardworking, you know, directors and
mm.
members.
Mm.
But what if you wanted information on that, you wanted to go and plan a trip, okay?
Mm.
Right now, how does it work?
Well, you got to call on the internet.
You do,
and
absolutely.
And make phone calls.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of that, what if you just put a feeler up to regional and say, dude, what can you find out from northern Michigan about, you know, northern lower Michigan about Heike's tomb, right?
Yeah.
I want all the info because I'm thinking of going there. So then the feeler goes out, comes back with all the info that they've gathered.
Yeah.
Plus, you've probably done some studying on your own,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you go, dudes, we want to go there. So
the feelers go out
again, and then a trip is just planned.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it becomes an official event. And
that's absolutely phenomenal. I agree. That is totally cool.
The difference between what they have and what we have is they have support and community.
Yeah, and that's, unfortunately, to be brutally honest and blunt about that, we don't have that here. Well, I don't want to say we'll never have that here, but as of right now, people, from my past experience, and I don't want this to turn into a rant anyways, but from my past experience, and I'm pretty sure from your guys' past experience, the group, a lot of people, we're going to say everybody's, we met some wonderful, wonderful
mm-hmm.
people.
Oh, yeah.
That we're still friends with today, you know,
yeah.
that we still do work with. But a lot of people we've met, we've come in contact with, it was a very negative experience. And there was just a lot of, just, you know, you're the one that taught me from day one, the group dynamic, you have to learn group dynamics, Scott. Mm-hmm. When I'd be blowing my top, screaming and yelling, I learned that, and now, and what I've taken from that is, you know what, I work with the guys from Ghostly Talk, I work with people from MGB, and that's a small group, too. It's not a very small group as far as personal contact
it's a
goes going out in the field.
Group, yeah.
And we're all really good friends now, and we all work well together, and we all get along real well, and that's who I feel comfortable with as far as, like, associations go.
Right.
Because every day it's like, well, I'm part of this group, you come do some work with us, and I'm like, maybe one time we'll go out, you know, but I don't want to be, like, you know, joining up with you. It's like, it's turned into a mob, it seems. Join my family. Join my family. You want to join my family, son, right? I just find, like I said this weekend, I mean, I had a whole weekend to myself where I basically didn't. I didn't come out of the house for 2 days. I didn't. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, I'm sick. I can't come out of the house. It's cold outside. I really want to get well so I'm not sick for the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
The holiday coming and all. So I stayed in the house. I'm like, well, what do I do? Well, I need to do some reading here. And I did. Got a lot out of that on my own. Not saying that you can't go out and, you know, work with other people. I think you should. That's how I learned a lot of things. I know we've all learned a lot of things that way. But I know comparing our state to Indiana,
you can't.
You can't. It's apples and oranges. It's two different, totally
and
different things.
I think what's done here in Michigan is a lot similar, is more similar to what's done all throughout the country other
probably.
Than Indiana. What I'm saying is that the advantages of, I've seen that these folks came together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their awards banquet. They, you know, each chapter had like a list of awards that they gave out, and then Mike had a list of awards to give out from the presidential office or whatever. and it really worked. They were proud of each other.
That's
they
great.
Were happy
no, and that's good
for each other. They have a group.
And how long have they been working on that too?
4 years.
Okay, that is a very long time.
And it was a lot
it
of hard
takes
work.
A lot of work
of a lot of dedicated people.
Yeah, and I find that the thing I've seen with groups I've been part of. One of the main problems you'll see is that this stuff, if you want to put together a good group, a productive group, a supportive group, right,
mm-hmm.
it don't happen overnight.
Well,
it don't.
Right, it can't happen.
Does.
It can't
some people
overnight.
Think that it has to happen overnight. It's going to
well,
be so easy.
True.
And no, you're going to have to weed out the non-believers.
Well,
you're going to do a lot of things.
They're still working on it. I mean, it's
absolutely.
A never-ending process.
Yeah, it's
even
always
in
process.
But they've got the support. They've got a foundation. We don't have it.
No, we don't.
We don't have a foundation here. And I think a lot of states are in that.
Possibly the only
we have no support up above us or below us. We have no support whatsoever. We've got no
the thing with that. I mean, I agree with you totally, but I don't think it's such a huge deal because you can still go out and learn. You can still go out and do that kind of
we
stuff.
We can because mm-hmm. we're Ghostly Talk.
Yeah,
and we've got a name of some kind. I don't know why or how, but we got this name and we can call up some people and say, dudes, you know, we kind of want to go to your state or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you heard of us? And a lot of people say, yeah, but I never wanted to use Ghostly Talk and what we're doing here in the basement as you know as a not a meal ticket, but as a thing. What,
oh,
you know,
a
like
springboard.
Springboard or anything. I wanted this to be just us sitting in the basement
that's
talking
what
about
really,
our ghost.
Still,
talk.
What it really is. We're still learning
for
like
the
anybody
most
else
part.
Is. Yeah,
we're always learning. But but you know what if you weren't Ghostly Talk? You know, I mean, what would Yeah, I it's just like, you know.
I know what you're saying, man. There is no support.
And, we don't have any ties with anything. They have ties. They have this statewide family of like-minded individuals that they can rely on for support, that they can provide support to. We don't have anything like that.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, we don't have that here.
And I'm jealous.
Yeah, I'm really jealous too. It'd be nice to have a group of people that you know, that you could just go to and go, hey, I want to try, hey, what's up with this? Bounce this idea. What do you think, you know?
Right.
And have somebody very open-minded to that at all times where you feel completely comfortable with any idea.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be for a location or just a new approach or anything, because I know that's what they're all about. We don't have that here.
There's a lot of work being duplicated around here and in other states. In Indiana, they've got a structure built. It it appears to be working absolutely fine because the people that I met and the people that they were laughing with and having fun with and giving awards to and slapping on the back, good, way to go, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just so it was an aura going on in that room and it was beautiful. And I was really jealous of that, and I thought that's the way it should be. I know that groups, you know, especially very highly organized groups, are not for everybody. There are going
to
be
a lot of them have closed membership too. They don't even. I mean, you have to go through like some Masonic ritual to even join them sometimes.
Here in Michigan, that is true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few groups. I mean, they're research groups. They're very serious. I don't want to throw any names out because I don't want to give them a bad name.
but it's not. But it's I've not come in contact. It's how it works for them.
A lot of these people I've talked to personally, and they're very, very cool. They're just like, we've been through all the garbage. We've been through all that crap, and this is how we do it, and it works this way. So I'm like, you know what? Let me shake your hand. You finally found your niche. Cool.
Right,
you know?
They're doing great. But what can, you know, they're not getting any support from above or below either.
No.
They have to do all the work on their own as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just really think that what Mike is doing
it's wonderful.
And what Sean is working on and all the other regional directors there and the members, you know, they're all out in the field. I mean, even Mike is out there with his recorder, you know. I mean, everybody's out in the field all the time as often as they can because they're still ghost hunters, you know. But the thing is what they're doing is absolutely beautiful.
No, it's a great thing. I agree.
It needs to be done, I think, more.
The thing
I asked Mike, I said, Mike, can you organize Michigan for us? I did. And I'm telling you.
Can you organize Michigan for us?
If you could organize Michigan.
No, the way, you can look at it two ways from what I've seen like over the last 4 years. And that's, you can look at it from the individual standpoint where you're like, okay, I'm trying to learn here. How do I learn? And that's what I've done a lot of the time. I'm not that I'm self-centered or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We get emails upon emails from people asking questions about stuff, and we try to return as much as we can personally. Go, hey, this is what you want to try. Try this. It's cool. Or you can look at the big picture, where if you really look at the big picture, the one thing you just said a few minutes ago is there's a lot of duplication.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the big picture and go, okay, look, we're trying to get something done here. We're trying to prove something here. We're trying to forward this study so the scientific community does look at it and go, you know what? This is a serious study. Let's put some money into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a problem, here in Michigan at least, because, there is a lot of duplication. A lot of people just go out and do the same thing over and over again.
It's a whole bunch of little kingdoms.
Yeah, that's a whole bunch of little kingdoms. That's half the problem. Let's leave that alone. But there is a lot of duplication.
Well, some are better run than others.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
I we all know that.
Absolutely, I agree with that. But there is this thing that there's a lot of duplication. How many times, and I'm not knocking them at all, how many times do you have to go to a cemetery? I mean, that's what I said this weekend, and my roommate Timmy said it. I'm like, Timmy, check this thing out, what I'm reading here. And he's like, dude, wow, man.
Build the spirit comm and turn it on.
It's not really a matter of building. It gives you an idea.
Yeah.
And this is what we did, and it says right at the end, let's see what you guys can do now. Here,
right.
We got ideas, you know, with today's technology, let's see what we can do. And I'm like, now this right here, this is something I really want to work on. Because, you know what, I've been to the houses, I've been to the cemeteries, I've been to the prisons, and Sam's now, blah, blah, blah. I've been to all that stuff, and that's super cool. I'm going to still do it. But let's rich this up a little bit. Let's get this a little bit more interesting now and try something different, try something new. And try to make a breakthrough, possibly. I don't know. I mean, that's what... And this is a science. I consider it a science myself. This is a science. No matter what the scientific community says, this is a scientific study. We approach it from a scientific viewpoint. So why not do a scientific project on it, right?
And if you had a statewide or multi-state organization...
Yeah.
that you could go to for support on projects that you think are valuable.
Yeah.
You could get it done in that much faster. I know we got to go.
Yeah.
But I have to say, before we get Chad Lambert, the incredibly talented Chad Lambert, on the phone, I want to just give another heartfelt and just incredible thank you to the Burrises, to Indiana Ghost Trackers, to the Muncie chapter, who is just absolutely, totally fun.
Those the Fort Wayne people too,
and the Fort Wayne people, they all kind of scooch in the, you know, they scooch their tables together. Mm-hmm. They totally rock. I mean, they're the you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming down this spring, I swear.
They just totally rock. If I move, I'm moving to Muncie. That's it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't make it down there. I apologize.
They rock. But everybody, I mean, I talked at great length with with others too that were just phenomenal, and we looked at evidence. I mean, it was just an eye opening.
That's a great thing.
This weekend was an eye opening experience for me, and I want to say thank you to everybody, Mike, Sean, Amy, Elena, Misty.
Thanks for taking care of my two morons here. I appreciate it. Keeping them out of trouble.
They let us in Indiana for another.
So I was scared to let them go on for the weekend by themselves. So I didn't know it was going to happen, right? And they came back in one piece. So thanks for taking care of them, guys. I appreciate
it. So yeah, you guys do. Indiana rocks. They got it all going on. I'm telling you, the Indiana has it together.
Cool.
So
let's take a quick break then.
Let's take a break. Let's get Chad Lambert the guy who does Point Pleasant comic book and the Mothman comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Get him on the phone and we'll talk about creatures. Why not?
Stuff.
Cool.
We'll be right back.
My name's Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Trackers, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Terry at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, guys, what's up? Good time.
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Well, today I want you each to stand up and hold your hands in some stupid symbol. Burn an X in your head.
Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
This is Ghostly Talk.
What's up?
Hey, if you're not already in the chat room, pop in the chat room. So we're live, and we're live 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
On Sunday nights.
Yeah, thank you. when we're live, we're in the chat room. So you can pop in to go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, or our own website, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yes,
and there are links there to get into the chat rooms and get in the chat rooms and visit with us. And I see they talk about pretty much everything under the sun.
Sex.
Yeah, and sex.
Sex.
And so they're in the chat rooms and visit with us and say hey and pop questions out, you know, anything you want, because that's what the chat rooms are there for. Also, okay, also I wanted to say that, now I forgot what I was saying. Thanks,
I'm
Scott.
Sorry, okay?
Thanks, Scott, yeah.
You were going to say how much you think I'm a great guy.
Oh, and yes, and I also want to thank Scott L. for everything that he does for the show. Now,
I'm holding this comic book in my hand.
Yes, you are. You're holding a really cool looking comic book.
Yes,
in your hand.
Very. Actually, this is a very different looking comic book because most comic books, the cover especially, from my limited experience in comic books, you know, every one I've ever seen, they're very outlandish looking on the cover and they're crazy and they really want to catch your eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is it's outlandish, but it's soft. And it's artistic, and it's really nice looking. It's like
this
a real
much
nice
more art.
Yeah,
than,
yeah. Nice oil, like that'd be more or less a water painting on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Point Pleasant on it.
Right.
With a butterfly behind there. Or
right.
A moth. I guess
that would
moth.
Be a moth.
Be
yeah.
A moth. Just kind of scanning through this comic book, you see a story.
Yep.
It's a story.
You do.
And the story was written by a man named Chad Lambert.
It was.
Who shares the last? Actually, Chad.
Yeah.
You're here. You're here.
I am.
Okay, let's bring
you're not on the mic, though.
Yeah, hang on for one second, Chad.
Nope, his mic is cold.
His mic is cold?
Yeah.
Hang on for one second, Chad, okay? All right.
I don't know what to do.
All right, I got it. No problem. We're going to do the Jeopardy theme right now, okay? Ready?
There we go. Yes, keep going.
I'm running out of breath. Hurry up, Doug.
I want a disco version of that.
Let's try this again. Chad, you there?
I'm here.
Ah, there he is.
Hey, meet Murphy. He visits us a lot.
He likes to turn our mics off and stuff and then rip the cords out and destroy them and fun stuff like that.
Yeah, Murphy of Murphy's Law. He's in the studio with us today.
Now, Chad, first thing before we even get started here, your last name is Lambert. Am I correct?
That is right.
Okay, my last name is Lambert, too. Okay? So what we're going to do on the show is I go by Scott L. People always call me Scott L., right?
Okay.
So now your name is Chad L. Okay, you
so
are Chad L. for the rest of the show.
You're officially a Chad L. now.
Okay?
I've been called worse.
So So, yeah, we got to meet you because we went to the...
You guys, I didn't get to meet Chad.
I got to meet him because I went up...
I was scurrying about somewhere. I don't know where I was at.
You were visiting with all the people outside about conspiracy stuff.
Was I?
Yeah, and we were inside, like, visiting with as many people as we could latch on to.
I was outside at the demonstration.
Right, yes.
With my picket sign.
Right, but I was inside. Me and Bonnie were inside.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for English? Bonnie and I were inside, and we were...
Big red X on your script right there.
And we were running around trying to meet just all the cool people.
Yeah.
And, of course, one of the cool people there was Chad Lambert. He had Chad L. And
Chad
he,
L.
Yeah,
Chad L.
And he had done this Mothman comic book, and now he's doing the Point Pleasant comic book. So we're like, we've got to talk with Chad L.
Yeah.
On Ghostly Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up and introduced ourselves, and we got to meet you there.
Yeah, it was a great festival.
It was. It was a lot of fun, and there was a lot. I couldn't believe how many people showed up. From what I understood, we talked about this a little bit on the show after the trip, but I mean, the attendance, from what I understood, was a record. This is the third annual Mothman Festival, and this was a record attendance. I mean, more people showed up than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, this thing is getting better and better, and more people are showing up, and there's more stuff to check out.
And what was cool about this year is you had all that flooding going on.
Yeah, the flooding.
All these people still came out and made the effort to come, so that was really cool.
Well, we were there the night before. We actually went to Point Pleasant the night before. Because there was so much rain, we couldn't do any ghost hunting where we were at. And we were only about an hour outside of Point Pleasant, so let's go there and hang out. So on the way there, that wasn't the night before. We had to take detour routes all through the state to try to get to Point Pleasant.
Right, we were in Ohio. We had to take detours. Did you have to take detours the next day?
No, actually, I made it right down, but as I was leaving, they said that the river was rising, and within like 2 or 3 hours, the main streets of Point Pleasant would have been closed.
Oh my God!
Just missed it.
The night before, it was like totally dreary. The whole town just looked. We got there just at dusk, and so there's a little bit of daylight left. I don't want to call sunlight because there's no sun. But we noticed behind the historic Low Hotel, there is a walk down that goes into the river, and that thing must have been up. I mean, how it was up very high, Will. I mean, from what people were telling us, like the day before, it was down like 4 or 5 steps, which would have equaled about 6 foot. Okay, this thing was up. The water was way high. And we're like, oh boy, are we going to get flooded here? And the next day, for some reason, when we got there, sunny, beautiful, couldn't ask for better weather. It was just a wonderful day, and the water did drop down. Yeah, but you were right, Chad.
And it was rising, though, all day, because we counted the steps. There were like 8 steps or something when we got there in the late morning.
Yeah, late morning.
When we got there in the late morning, it was 8 steps. By the time we left, it was down to 4 steps or
five.
So it was rising throughout that day well. So I have to tell, you know, everybody who attended the Point Pleasant the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant this year, you guys battled a lot, because we battled it too, the floods, and kudos to everybody, because that was a great time. Not easy, but it was a great time once you got there.
Met a lot of great people. It was just a really great thing. We raved about it already. There was just some amazing people out there that have a sincere interest in this thing, I mean, they even made it speak. We couldn't believe that stuff too. You can download that on the site if you want to.
Did you have to give a speech, Chad L?
Yes, I did. I was the first one.
Were you?
And it's the first time they ever had speakers at something like this. So the organizer, Jeff Wansley, ran upstairs, and we'd been up there for about an hour, and we had not had, like, one person come to the table.
Okay.
We were like, oh, gosh, you know, we shouldn't be up on the second floor. Nobody's going to know we're up here. So I went down to do this speech, and I talked for about 30 or 40 minutes, and I was amazed at how many good questions I got about everything from publishing to the story involved to whatever. And from that point on, it was like Elvis at Graceland. I had lines all day. I had TV and radio up there. It was insane.
Well, yeah, we found the same thing when we actually, because Jeff did the same thing to us. Oh, 2 o'clock, talk. Okay. All right.
The people in the audience were phenomenal.
Well, yeah, we could have probably talked for a couple hours up there because all the questions we were getting.
It was amazing.
They were great questions. I mean, it was people with a sincere interest and people that really wanted to hear what was being said.
Absolutely.
And that's what really counted. That was just a great thing. But now this comic, though, this is what we want to talk about. Now, I've been through this comic, and it's a different kind of comic. I mean, as far as this, I have the Point Pleasant one in front of me right now. It's a different kind of comic, because the way you wrote this, because you're the head writer on this comic, you wrote it differently. You wrote it with more of a historical premise. It wasn't supposed to be some outlandish story, like you know, something you get from Marvel or anybody like that. I'll pimp Marvel for a second. But something like you get from Marvel. I mean, it's about things that are out of the ordinary that happen, but you base this on more of a historical premise. You wanted to get more of a real story involved with this. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think everybody agrees that, you know, when you saw the movie The Mothman Prophecies, they did a really good job of capturing the essence of Keel's book, and I think for a two-hour popcorn movie, it was very good. But on the other hand, it didn't even come close to hitting its marks on the historical stuff, on the conspiracy theories back to the Revolutionary War. They didn't even get the number of people that died on the bridge right.
Yeah.
You know, so to somebody that kind of knew the history a little bit, you know, it was a very hard film to accept.
Well, I know a lot of people that I talked to that day, you know, it would come up in conversation, so just see the movie, and a lot of people just started, they'd either A, start giggling, or B, just put their head down and shake it. Go, oh, God, no, I don't want to talk about
the movie. I give the movie a little more credit than most. It was a very stylistic movie, and something like that would be very, very hard to make in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
So the fact they got that much of it right is very impressive.
Yeah, it was a good film. I've seen it myself a couple of times, and I did enjoy the film for what it was. And we discussed that a little bit on the break. You know, and Doug, you said you never really studied the Mothman that much.
Not until after the movie came out.
I read a little bit on it, but I didn't know any hardcore history, though.
The only thing that I had ever read about it was on one of my favorite sites on the planet, of course, is paranormalnews.com.
Uh-huh.
And there was some references to the Mothman story in a couple of stories,
uh-huh.
You know, about other things.
Yeah.
And so that's basically my introduction to the Mothman.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, other than I've studied a lot of cryptozoology, but for some reason, until then, I hadn't run across this particular one.
Okay. Now, yeah, with the story, like I said, it was a fun movie.
Since then, of course, I've seen the movie. I've studied the Mothman. I went to the 3rd Annual Mothman Festival and learned a heck of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
what more are you going to learn by actually being there itself?
And I joined the mailing list at mothmanlives.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so I'm learning all the time now.
Yeah. Well, having Jeff on the show, because we had Jeff on the show, geez, what, about a year ago?
Yeah.
Almost? Having Jeff on the show was a real eye opener for us too, because he told us a lot of stuff that, you know, that
wasn't in the movie.
It wasn't in the movie, historical. Obviously, historical itself. But there's just a, you know, there's an army base right outside of Point Pleasant, and we learned ourselves that going in, like, was it I-77 right there that runs right on the Ohio River? There's a nuclear power plant right there. I mean, right outside of the town of Point Pleasant.
Is it nuclear or is it?
It's some type of fusion plant. I don't know what it was.
Some, yeah.
Chad, are you aware that there is a nuclear power plant right there on off I-77 right there?
Oh yeah, it's about I'd say probably about 10 miles up the river.
Yeah.
It was going into Point Pleasant. We saw this, and I was cracking up because, I mean, I'm looking at farms like a mile away from this place. They're growing food.
Don't eat the corn.
Don't eat the corn, right? And, I mean, I was just like, oh, my God, how could they do this? And, I mean, those were the things I kind of put together in my little mind when we were there.
It turns out, though, I don't think that was there when the Mothman was visiting.
Okay. Do you know when that power plant was built, Chad?
I am not sure. My geography is a little sketchy.
Okay.
Parts of that. That
would
be
interesting to find out.
About 30 miles north in Jackson, Ohio.
Okay.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, you know, from the perspective of somebody who's been down there, I went to college down there at the University of Rio Grande, I saw that movie twice before I realized that wasn't Point Pleasant they were filming in.
Okay.
It is so close.
Uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of people at the Mothman Festival, you know, that was the first thing they pointed out, well, they should have filmed the movie here, but I tell you, it looked exactly like Point Pleasant, the power plant, the bridge, the river. I mean, everything was pretty close.
Okay.
But it was actually filmed in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was in Katanning.
Yeah, Katanning, Pennsylvania.
Okay, all right.
Instead of Pittsburgh.
Which is amazing. Hollywood is just amazing with that stuff, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I think we all agree that the film was done very well, but as far as the storyline goes, Chad's going to concur with us on that. They probably could have done a little bit more. But you get, what can you do in 2 hours? You can only do so much with 2 hours. And they had to make it into a movie, too. It had to be a movie. It had to be a Hollywood movie. So they had to write a story that was going to catch the eye and the mind.
I'm probably the only one on the planet who hasn't read John Keel's book.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, did he really tie the Mothman and give it, you know, the Indrid Cold name? Did he do that in the book, Chad?
Yes. The book is probably one of the best books on the subject matter that's out there on everything from, you know, ghosts in the night to UFOs to just all that stuff. It is a phenomenal read. It really opens your mind to a lot of different ideas. The one that really struck me is that, you know, he kind of set up the theory of ultra-terrestrial.
Ultra-terrestrial, okay.
You know, and, like, it's amazing how much of a show like The X-Files just directly ripped out of that book.
I believe
they're just taken verbatim out of that book. It is probably one of the most amazing books, and so little of it is actually about the Mothman.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's a lot of... It's told in a research format, so there's a lot of tangents and sidebars, and it's in kind of an odd order, but... One of the most amazing eye-opening books I had ever read.
Well, the CD that you bought, Doug, when you were down there in Point Pleasant, what was the name of that again?
It was a CD about Indrid Cold.
Yeah.
Well, about Cold, I think. Not.
Yeah.
There was no Indrid part or vice versa. Do you remember on the CD?
What was the name of that, Jim?
It was just Cold.
It was just
cold. Yeah,
my
cold.
Name is
as
cold.
In cold.
Yeah.
We listened to that the whole way back.
And I got that from the lady who does the Parkersburg ghost walks.
Yeah.
Ghost haunts or ghost walks.
Susan. I'm locking up.
I have to get her on the show. I do. I have to get her on the show. But when we bought this CD, right, from the lady who does the Parkersburg ghost tours.
Mm-hmm.
It was interviews. It was like broadcast interviews of the fellow who had seen the UFO alien guy who named himself as being, you know, Indrid. I am Cold, not
yeah.
Indrid Cold. There was no Indrid part of that.
Just cold.
He said the man said I am Cold or whatever in his West Virginian accent.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he introduced himself. So then I don't understand how Indrid.
Where did Indrid come from? Yeah.
I don't know where Indrid came from, and I also don't know where how he that became the name of the Mothman, because when you listen to these interviews, and these were broadcast on radio and TV, these interviews of the guy who met the alien named Cold, it was completely unrelated to the Mothman.
Right.
I mean, except maybe in time, because it was just a bit before the Mothman showed up.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand how the Mothman ties into Cold or Indrid Cold, and even the name Indrid I don't understand yet. So I guess I still have a lot to learn.
Well, there's a lot in the book, but the book isn't nothing in the book is definitive. It's presented how he saw it and heard it and that kind of thing, which makes it even more interesting, kind of the less is more philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's very open-ended.
Well, how do you tie in the name Indrid Cold to the... Do you tie it to the Mothman, as in the movie, or are they one and the same, or are they two different things?
I don't know. I think they're two different things.
Okay.
I think they're two totally separate things. I kind of steered away from it in the comic book a little bit to keep it... open-ended, because that, when you bring up Indrid Cold, that automatically separates people who believe in this and people who believe in that.
Well, yeah.
Because suddenly you're talking about UFOs and aliens versus a creature.
A creature, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I've always separated them myself also. The movie doesn't do that. The movie basically takes the two characters and works them together. Well, according to you, I mean, as far
somehow.
As your perception goes, I mean, that's how I perceived it originally was... Okay, this Indrid Cold and this Mothman guy are one and the same.
That's what it seems like in the movie to me.
Yeah, and that, I mean, as far, I mean, we know Hollywood has to do their thing and they have to do whatnot. But yeah, the point though is that this comic that you're working on, it's more historically related though. It's trying to get the facts out more in a more of an entertaining format though.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you were trying to do with this comic.
How long does it take to do a comic like that?
Well, I've done ones that aren't as historically laden, if you will, as this one. You know, and you can usually, I don't know, you can do a script in a few weeks, depending on how much time you have to commit to it. I spent about 6 months on Point Pleasant.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, small press comics aren't, you know, they're more of a hobby-based career. There's not a lot of money in it, that kind of thing. So you kind of allow, you kind of have a luxury of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly took advantage of that to make this book as accurate as I could. And just hit the nail on the head everywhere I possibly could.
Let's tell this story more after the break, okay? We're going to get more into this comic now, because that's what we... I really want to do this.
I want to learn more about how
it came together and the story itself involved here on a high level, more or less.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about this week, so...
Cool.
That, you know?
All right.
So let's take a quick break. Chad, hang tight, all right?
Sure.
And, yeah, we're just going to take a quick break here. More with Chad Lambert, or Chad L.
Chad L.
Oh, I just got hit with that one.
Yep.
Chad L.
Here on Ghostly Talkies, known as Chad L.
We'll be right back after this.